Five Talks on 5FM with Nick Hammond. Share stories, change attitudes, celebrate people, talk loud, listen loud, live loud. Five Talks on 5FM.
It's a Five Talks Tuesday. So there was an article that Mad Money Mike brought to my attention recently that I found quite interesting. There was a study done recently which was conducted with 2,000 parents having at least one child aged between 11 and 16. And that study found that the most popular career choice for that generation entering one day into the working world was to looking into becoming some sort of an influencer. Now, it's a brave new world, and there are many different ways you can go about doing something like this. We've pulled people on the show over the next hour who have different takes and have all in their own rights been incredibly successful. Lesizwe is coming in. Lesizwe, you'll know perhaps from his online internet persona, perhaps from his MTV reality show that's doing incredibly well, perhaps from some of the brand work that he's done. He'll be talking to us about his take on the industry and what that has been like. A Hooligan, another guest coming in, young dude who's worked very closely with some big brands and done some great work for them. And She Said SA, who's a blogger, it's been around for some time, also has a full-time job. But there's a lot of nuance to this world, and there's a lot that also we need to be incredibly careful of, and there's territories that can get murky and things that can go wrong. And to help us understand some of that, on the line right now, no, it's not a Monday, here's Eitan Stern from Legalese. Eitan, good morning, dude.
Good morning. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing fantastically well. So, we'll know within the scope of what we call influencer culture, there are things that come to mind, different perceptions people may or may not have. But at the same time, there are things that people do need to be very careful of. We can look at Fyre Festival. I mean, it's been the top trending documentary on Netflix for some time now. I suppose at best a failed luxury music festival. Billy McFarlane, CEO, there was Ja Rule the rapper. They made promises. They used influencers to help reinforce those promises. They were not fulfilled, and that has now become something that people have had to look at very carefully. I think there's six separate lawsuits that are either being dealt with or have already been dealt with in some regard. But I suppose as a good point of starting, it's important to maybe make a distinction when we talk about influencer culture that does not necessarily mean that said person has some sort of redeeming skill outside of being popular on a social media platform.
Yeah, for sure. So, as you've quite rightly said, and we certainly see this a lot at our work, this influencer culture is growing, and essentially what brands need to do in order to remain relevant with their consumers is they need to be cool. How does someone remain cool? Well, they're able to access the coolness of people in society, and that's what they call influencers. The one kind of danger with this culture, and that study that you're talking about, I haven't read that, but that's deeply problematic. I think it's deeply problematic, is because the one thing that it does land up building is a culture where people think that being cool is an excuse for not being talented. And my personal opinion is that there's no excuse for working hard and being talented. Being an influencer is not just a way to make money without doing any without having any talent or working hard. And that's something which you'll probably be able to attest to, Nick. You know, you probably have an influencer part of your work, but that's not solely what you do. You rely on your talent as a radio presenter. So I think the first thing that everyone out there who wants to be an influencer needs to know is that, you know, it is a full-time job, and it comes, and that's something which you need to work hard at doing, and also you need to have some basis of talent in what you're doing.
So speaking to that point, dude, I mean, if we assume then what we're saying essentially is you've got a product, but that product is your persona. So it's an extension of yourself, but it's a managed extension of yourself. How then do you think that we should be looking at how we're managing that? I mean, we've obviously got rights. We've got rights that we give away in certain regards, you know, if we influence. But then how do we also ensure that there's some sort of redemption that they're actually holding some kind of value?
Yeah, okay. So that's a super interesting point. And again, this is something where, you know, with the influencer culture, there's obviously the good part of the industry, and there's quite the sordid, dark part of the industry. You know, in the good part of the industry, it's fantastic. You've got some professional influencers who are talented at what they're doing, take their job seriously, understand their rights around what they're doing, and you've got the dark kind of not so nice side where you might just have a company giving money to someone to go buy products for their friends. And that product might be alcohol or cigarettes or something to that effect. So, you know, if you're wanting to be an influencer, the thing which you need to understand is your product is your persona. And that product needs to be managed very carefully. So you need to make sure that whatever your persona is to the public is being managed and taken care of. So, because otherwise, not only will brands not want to work with you, but you might actually get your brands that you're working with in trouble. So So an example would be, let's take the actor Kevin Spacey. You know, for years we all loved him. He was a fantastic actor. He then got accused and was, I think, guilty of these terrible offenses, and now he can't get any work. And that's something that, it's obviously a very extreme example, but it's something to say, if you are putting your image out there into the public, you need to manage your image very carefully, because otherwise, you know, it can destroy your career as an influencer.
Something else, you know, if you've worked in my position as a freelancer for a brand, in the contract, at some point, there's this idea of what you can and can't do in terms of brand conflict and kind of bringing the brand into disrepute or doing something that maybe fringes upon your exclusivity you're meant to have with that brand partnership. I mean, this surely is something that somebody entering into a brave new world without necessarily having something defining that needs to be quite concerned about.
Yes, for sure. And I think that the takeaway point on that is that if you are an influencer, you have to really be discerning and careful about what brands you work with, because it really should be some sort of a partner relationship. Because, you know, what you are doing is you're giving your likeness to that brand and you're saying, look, I'm willing to represent and recommend this brand to my friends and my followers. Now, if that brand is something that you don't agree with what they're doing, that might be fine in the short term because, look, they're giving you money. What does it really matter? But in the long term, you probably, if you are taking this career seriously, you are killing any other further opportunities that you would have to work with other brands in the same area. Or let's say you support an alcohol company, then, you know, let's say another company which doesn't support alcohol might not want to work with you. So you need to really make sure that you are supporting brands that you believe in, because the internet is essentially written in pen. Whatever you put your name behind today, you are essentially putting your name and your persona and your name behind. So that can have effects later down in your career.
It's 5 Talks. It's 5 FM. We're chatting to Eitan Stern from Legalese. We're speaking about influencer culture. We've got some influencers and some brand specialists and people who work on different sides of the coin in social media and traditional marketing jobs as well coming in throughout the hour. But now we're talking about the legal side of things from Legalese. I suppose then, Eitan, that it kind of leads us to a point where, with any of this kind of work, if you are engaging with a brand, you are engaging with a company, and you are an individual, you need to have some sort of contract in place, right?
Yes. And if it's any influencers out there are listening, this really is a big take-home point that I want to hammer home. So, you know, if you are agreeing to sell your product, which is yourself and your persona, to a brand, or to license your product to a brand, then you need to govern that with a contract, because there's a lot of stuff that can go right and wrong in this. And if you are doing that, there are a few points that you probably need to make sure are in that contract. First of all, you need to make sure that you know what you're getting paid and when you're getting paid. Are they paying you in money? Are they paying you in product? And when are you going to get paid? Secondly, you have to know what your obligations to this brand are. What are they expecting of you? Are they expecting you, if you're supporting a shoe brand, are they expecting you not to wear any other shoes? If you're supporting a venue, are they expecting you to be there every weekend? What do they actually want of you? If they want you to do social media posts, how many posts must you do? It's very crucial to know your obligations and know the boundaries of your obligations. Then also crucially, it's what rights are you giving to them? Are you giving them the ability to use your name, to use your persona, to use your image? Are you agreeing to take part in and promote all of their products, or is it only one or two specific products or one campaign? Crucial to know what rights you're granting to them. Then also, all of these agreements are going to have a term. How long do you agree to be related to this brand, and in what territory are you going to be related to the brand? And crucially, always look out for exclusivity. Do you agree to only represent this brand and no others? Brands will often try to slip that in there because it's more valuable for them. So it's something you need to watch out for, to make sure that if you're signing exclusivity, that you meant to do that and hasn't just been put in by mistake.
And there's a reality, isn't there, as well, that brands make mistakes. Brands screw up. And if you're affiliated with that brand, I mean, that's a knock that you might have to be willing to take on.
Exactly, which is why it's crucial that you know the brand that you are representing, and you appreciate that brand, and you are able to support that brand. And that really is where you find the best groove for influencers, where it becomes a partnership, and they like the brand, and not something which is just, here's some money, please do a Facebook post.
Eitan Stern, Legalese, representing some legal understanding into the world of influencer culture this morning on the show. Eitan, thank you.
Only a pleasure. pleasure. Good luck out there.
Take it easy. It's 20 minutes after 11. It's 5FM. It's a 5 Talks Tuesday. We're talking about influencer culture. We're talking about marketing. We're talking about personal branding. It's a brave new world, and there's a lot of exciting opportunity out there, but at the same time, a lot to be very careful about. We're going to speak to Lesizwe next. Lesizwe is a South African TV personality, social media personality, radio host, businessman, comedian, actor, and he's someone who's been an internet celebrity for some time. He is, when you look at the scope of people out there, definitely a cut above the rest in many respects. And I think, as a result of that, we'll have some pretty cool insights to give us on the show. He's coming in next.
5 Talks on 5FM with Nick Hammond. Share stories. Change attitudes. Celebrate people. Talk loud. Listen loud. Live loud. 5 Talks on 5FM.
It's Panic at the Disco on 5FM. Hey, look, Ma, I made it. Hammond time on 5FM. 1122 is the time. 22 minutes after 11. It's a Tuesday. It's a 5 Talks Tuesday. And we're talking influencer culture. We're talking internet personalities. We're talking, how does it all work? What's it really about? Lesizwe joins me now, who needs no introduction. South African television personality, social media personality, radio host, comedian, actor, internet celebrity, somebody who's been on the business side of this as well as the front-facing camera side too. Thanks for making some time to come talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
You know what's really interesting? By the way, firstly, congratulations on the MTV show.
Thank
you. Fake it till you make it. It's going really well.
Yes, it is.
What's that experience like?
It's actually an experience of a lifetime. It's the first time dabbling into that space. And my audience have received it very well. I mean, the ratings are just crazy. And yeah, I mean, now we're just focusing on season 2, if I may say.
Are you busy shooting it at the moment?
Not yet.
That's coming.
Yeah.
Well, again, congratulations. And genuinely, you know, you're 20 years old. I mean, congratulations on the success you've had. You've done a hell of a lot.
Yes, I have.
And and I think there's going to be like a lot more that you'll do. But we're talking about this idea of influencer culture, which is something that you'll understand.
Yes.
Do you sort of remember the first time, you know, from making videos for the internet? Do you remember the first time that there was a brand who approached you and said that we want to do something with you?
Yes, I do. My first collaboration was actually with a what is it? It was a brand that focuses on, you know, date nights, and they want to promote like they date nights for couples and, you know, for like the therapy sessions.
Oh wow!
And they wanted me to create a video around that, and I didn't know how to price myself or the contractual side about it, and to find that, you know, it was actually like an influencer campaign type of vibe.
So who coaches somebody through something like that? You have to figure it out for yourself.
You have to figure it out for yourself. I mean, when you dabble in, I remember my first influencer gig, which is the date night and all of those. I literally charged them like 800 rand because I was like, oh my God, it's like my first time working with a brand, working with this and that. And then until I understood like the currency of followers and the currency of, you know, the nitty-gritties that you need to follow, the procedures, because it's not just you advertising the brand, it's you as a brand collaborating with another brand.
Do you think there are a lot of people that are getting taken advantage of by brands?
Most definitely there are, but it's just knowing yourself and knowing your value and your currency. As I said, you know, I was also once upon a time taken advantage of, and it's great. You know why? Because you learn yourself, you learn what works for you, what doesn't work for you as an influencer, as you may call it.
So then, I mean, as somebody who's been able to go on and do brand work, marketing work, if you look like the Fanta stuff that you've done, right? Mm-hmm. What sort of space was that came about in? Because that's not obviously something very different. You're going to get presented with a legitimate contract.
Yeah.
You have a whole new list of responsibilities that come with something. How did that sort of come about into play?
So the Fanta position came when I was still doing radio, and they approached me. They actually got an international call and they asked me, would I be keen for a position like this? I've been shortlisted and all of those things. And I said, most definitely I'd want to be a teen marketing director, but what does it entail of me? And it just entails of me, of course, pushing the brand into the right direction that they wanted to go in, and just also coming up with creative concepts. I mean, now we have Fanta Squad, which we are currently shooting. We're shooting season 2 for Fanta Squad, which is going to come up very, very soon on your YouTube streets, which is also we also got other influences. We have like your Tafaya, your Kat Ngala, and Matthew Mainton, if I'm not mistaken, which are also upcoming influences in the streets.
And for you at the moment, if you look at the different kind of platforms, right? So if you're doing things on YouTube, you're doing things in the Instagram space. I mean, how does that differ in terms of the content that you're creating for them, but then also how brands react to that kind of stuff?
So it depends. You know, with Instagram, it's usually your 1 minute videos with to the point or less because of people's attention span and what they receive and react to. YouTube is usually more of your detailed videos. For example, my recent video, which is currently trending on the trending tab, is the different cashiers during a drive-through, and that is a life experience, and everyone knows and understands what you go through when you go through a drive-through. So YouTube is more of a platform where you can sit down and talk to your audience and make them understand why you're doing such a video. And it's more of an engagement type of vibe of a video for YouTube.
It's a very funny video that, and you get chicken licking at McDonald's and KFC and you sort of play the differences out. Does it after, maybe don't use that example specifically because it's something happening now, but I mean, typically speaking, you do something like that, do you find that those restaurants are likely to reach out to you?
Yes, right now, because I'm also working with McDonald's most of the time. They do reach out because they see the reaction. You know, it's more of a ripple reaction that you get. So if you want to be like an influencer, you need to also set yourself up for brands to say, oh, okay, he did a McDonald's video maybe for free, you know, or you did a post wearing or eating or doing something with the brand and you made it creative. So you open yourself up to a space where they say, okay, we'd like to work with you because of the certain reaction we got from your posts. That's why sometimes they'd be like, we saw your video and we'd want you to do a re-edition of another segment or something like that. So yeah.
And do you find, because you know a lot of your stuff is in the comedy space, mm-hmm. comedy's such a fine line. I mean, everyone's got such a different idea about what's funny and what's not. And do you have to be considerate of that? Or are you sort of just doing what you think is funny?
Well, with comedy, it's you're right. With the fine line of it, you know, you have to kind of be careful what you tap into, what you can't tap into. Like recently, I actually did like a live video asking my followers about the R. Kelly situation. Like, would you guys be sensitive to me doing an
That's a serious video?
And many people were like, yes, it's sensitive. Yes, yes, yes. And that was the response I wanted. It's like, that means that I need to do an R. Kelly video because it's something that you would watch, which is a sensitive issue, because comedy is a way of you tackling serious issues. For example, there was one video I made about the different nurses that you experience. For example, if you go to a private hospital, there would be more of, hi, can we check your vitals and all of those things? Are you pregnant? And, you know, they'd be more receptive to you and calm. But at a public hospital, you know, because there's so many people they need to serve, there's so many people that need their attention, they can give so much little attention to you, and it seems of like they are being rude to you, but right. they're actually not, because you know someone would come and say, I need morning after pills. Why do you need morning after pills? And then you become a discussion and a debate, and then you still need to attend to other people. So it's more of that, you know, of how do you teach someone in a way that they will laugh about it and continuously watch it. So my videos, one thing I pride myself in is making people watch my videos over and over again. When you watch over and over again, you get the message. It's like listening to a song. You learn their lyrics after listening to a song after like 5 times.
But I think there's a few reasons for that. I think one, you can tell they're thought out. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, you can tell you haven't just put a camera on and hope for the best. They're relatable, they land. But then also, I think it's, I mean, you're legitimately talented. So you are. And I think that's the reason that there's this traction. This is why I want to ask you this question. So a lot of people will say, if you look at influencers that are, say, models, right, mm-hmm. in the modeling space, there's some people who will say to that those people are just lucky, and the other people that will say there's actually more to it. Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
So, you know, with the modeling space and the modeling influencers, it's a bit different. It's a bit tricky, you know. The first name or or person that comes up, especially, is Nadia Jafta. I don't know if that name.
Yeah, Nadia's been on the show. Yeah.
So Nadia Jafta is also an Instagram comedian. You know, she makes jokes.
And I've said the same thing too. I mean, she's making content.
She's making content, but also she's also an Instagram model. But now with Nadia, one thing I love about her is her versatility. Is that she's not just a pretty girl with a beautiful body with beautiful facial structures. I mean, right now she's securing the bag. We're currently also doing an influencer campaign, her and I, on TikTok, and it's more of well thought out ways of manipulating your brand and multiplying it, because you can be beautiful, you can be have a gorgeous body, eat well, pose like this, but how many other people can do that? Because right now the influencer market is growing rapidly. We have your 16-year-olds, we have your 14-year-olds, we're having so many people that want to jump into the market, but they don't know what special or unique thing to bring to the table.
Yeah. I mean, what is the advice? I mean, as the overall question, somebody comes to you and they say as a career they want to pursue it. Is that even a possibility?
It is a possibility, but you must know with the influencer industry, it's tough, you know. Number one, you must just be very wary of the deals you sign, the collaborations you make. And there are times where you invoice once a month. And that one invoice needs to sustain you for 6 months.
For sure.
So you need to be very strategic. You know, I know everyone says, oh, you need to pick your brands right. But it really doesn't happen, because if you get an email now from, I don't know, for example, what's a sport brand? Okay, any sport brand.
Adidas.
Nice. Adidas, yeah. Adidas would say, hi, Lissy's Wear. We're doing an Adidas run. Would like you to come through. Here's our budget. And you're like, oh my God, the last time I invoiced was 3 months ago. Well, I'm a running alcoholic now. I love running. Like, you know, it's those little nitty-gritties. And then when you get there, you're like, oh no, like, this is not me. And now you're demanded to perform and to meet the certain requirement and standard that you portray on social media, and now the brand alignment is not working. And then now they say, oh, why are you not performing? And now you have a debate with the brand, and it's now a disruptive debate, that why aren't you working, or why aren't you feeling the brand? That time you've agreed, because you agreed to monetary purposes. So it's just of you aligning yourself. I know it's very difficult, because whatever comes, you jump on it and you say, no, it's fine, we'll see on the way. But it's more of basically the alignment, and just being careful and just picking your brands correctly, because you'll find yourself trapped.
Well, you've done it well, and I mean, it's going to be very exciting to watch and see what happens with your career. Congrats on the first season of the show.
Thank
you. You make it. Good luck for season two.
Yes.
And we'll be following very closely. Thanks for coming on and speaking to us as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And to all the influencers out there, be safe, guys. I'd like to make reference to the Fire
sure.
Festival,
yeah.
the Netflix series. They you just need to be careful, guys. Be very careful.
And there's a lot to do with illegality. We spoke about earlier with Eitan Stern. Honestly, we'll put that on catch up. You can check it out. There's some very, very interesting stuff in that space.
Five Talks on 5FM with Nick Hammond. Share stories. Change attitudes. Celebrate people. Talk loud. Listen loud. Live loud. Five Talks on 5FM.
It's 37 minutes after 11 Hammond time on 5FM. It's a Five Talks Tuesday. Thank you to Lesizwe. Thank you to Eitan, who've joined us on the air so far. I've been talking about different elements of influent culture and personal branding, and the different kinds of things that we need to be aware of and potentially concerned about. This is following a study where it said that one of the most popular things that young people seem to want to do is to get in to this brave new world. And there's people that have been doing it for a long time, people who also have full-time jobs as a side to having started blogs that have done successfully, and they've been able to do work in that space, like Annabelle, who joins us on the line now. She's a content and production manager. She also is behind She Said SA, a successful blog that has its leg in many different kinds of social media. Annabelle, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing fantastically well. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And, you know, I think for somebody, what's interesting is this is the first time we're getting perspective from someone who has skills I think they would have learned in a certain influencer space that they've obviously been able to implement into other different careers. And I was just wondering, you know, because I know you come from the blogging days. I mean, where did all of that kind of thing begin for you?
So, hi, sorry again. So it began for me, I actually started open advertising. And then while I was at my first advertising job, blogging and kind of Instagram was just becoming popular. I sound about 1,000 years old. But it was just becoming popular. And then I quit advertising to do blogging full time. And now I'm back in advertising. So yeah, it's kind of just been back and forth from the two.
As somebody who understands advertising language and who has obviously had to present themselves as a brand, what kind of space would you describe the brand that you had to have been in?
What I was in, hey?
Well, still in. But I mean, you know, how do you sell that? You know, everyone's got to have the Nike does this, McDonald's does that.
Yes. So I've been always quite clear about the fact that I'm a human being, right? And that if you look at what my brand started as to what it's now, like I'm almost 30 now, it's completely different. Like my focus is more kind of on wellness, whereas in the past it was fashion. And I'm speaking more about my professional career, whereas in the past it was like about cool things to do. So I've always been really intent on making my brand about me, not me about my brand.
And if you look at it now from the advertising perspective, right? I mean, we look at influencer culture and that kind of thing. I mean, how big do you think it is in South Africa? I mean, to what extent are brands actively going out and looking for people on social media that they can work with?
I mean, so to give you an idea, so I'm the creative director of my agency. So I'm constantly in rooms figuring out creative ways to sell more stuff, right? And every single campaign we do has an influencer aspect to it. Even if it's small, sometimes they're completely influencer-driven, but it'll have an aspect in every single campaign, which is massive. Like if you think of every agency in Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, you know, wherever is doing that, it's millions, billions.
And it obviously, these things vary campaign to campaign, but I mean, what is it that if you're going out and looking for somebody, I mean, how is it that you find them? Is it somebody that you're already probably aware of because they've got a big following, or do you use micro-influencers? I mean, how does that all work?
Yeah, so I think, like you said, it depends on the campaign, but for us, we've moved away from a like-driven culture, because a like isn't really saying much. It's about, and I think brands are stopping to count likes as engagement. So we look for whether you have 5,000 followers or 500,000 followers. It's about the engagement you're getting from your audience. Because, I mean, you can see on some people's Instagram accounts, for instance, they have 1 million followers, but they're only getting like 1,000 likes. Mm. But you will see someone who has 15,000 followers and is getting like 50 comments per photo. You know, that's where the actual value lies.
And this to you would be an obvious, probably silly question, so I apologize. I know that there are people who do this, this is why I'm asking the question. How easy is it to audit somebody's social media?
It's really easy, and it's getting easier every day. I mean, there are platforms that we use where you can just type in someone's handle and it'll be able to tell you if they have fake followers, like if they like farming. It's really, really simple. So if you are doing that, stop, because it's fraud.
And what about misaligned spaces? This is something that we saw a lot in earlier influencer culture. What I mean by this specifically is you might have somebody who is an athlete, and not to say they're not also intelligent, but it wouldn't make as much sense if they were selling textbooks on their page. That used to be something we see a lot of. You think we're seeing less of that?
Yeah, I think we are, just because people are, when the influencer culture started, it was this new thing, right? And people were very, very trusting of it because it came from people that they knew. Like, it was their friends selling this stuff. And now, you know, it's an industry. So the audience has wisened up to it. And then the influencers have had to wisen up to it because, like, if I don't drink and I'm trying to sell you vodka, it's like people are very aware that I don't drink. It's just, you know, you got to stay true to what you actually your authentic life.
And it's a difficult thing. I would never say who or what and go into any detail, but I mean, I've got friends who have retainers from brands for alcohol that you know, have taken decisions in their own life not to drink. And that's just, it, unfortunately, you know, par for the course.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's, you know, their own personal decision, and I'm a big believer in kind of karma and, you know, like living your, I mean, not that someone's going to come get them, but like you've got to stay true to yourself. And I think that kind of stuff catches up with you. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's draining when you are sharing a life that isn't actually your life.
Right.
Whereas if you're engaging with a product or a brand on a daily basis, it's really easy and it can be quite fun.
100%. And then as a parting shot, now that you are working in advertising and the blog is then again, I suppose, a point of passion from you, how has that changed the way in which you look at it?
It's really awesome because I was blogging full time and I needed it. It was my income, right? And now I don't need to make money off my blog. So I can be a lot pickier with what I do, and I generally choose jobs with, do I care about this, and like, would other people care? And that's my compass now, and it's a really great space to be in, and I feel quite lucky to be in there because I'm not going, I need to pay rent. Let me speak about vodka every day or something.
The blog is shesaid.co.za. Go check it out. Annabelle, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us.
Thanks so much for having me. I love you, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
5 Talks on 5FM with Nick Hammond. Share stories. Change attitudes. Celebrate people. Talk loud. Listen loud. Live loud. 5 Talks on 5FM.
15 minutes before 12. We've got one more guest. A hooligan. Is that the best way to introduce you?
Yeah, you can call me that. Or you can just call me Alex.
Alex. Yeah. Birth name Alex. But I mean, that's the brand name. And that's the, you know, stuff that you're doing cool work with. Alex and I do know each other. I think, so we're speaking about influencer culture and personal branding and all that kind of stuff. And I think what puts Alex in a slightly different space is that with a lot of the stuff that you're doing, you explain, but you're doing sort of like high quality content and you're partnering with brands a lot of the time.
Yeah, basically that I just, brands come to me and give me creative direction and say, you make my product look cool in your aesthetic sort of thing. And we trust you.
So that, how would you describe what is your brand? If you're going to a brand or they're coming to you, why is that happening?
It all started organically. Like, I never went out of my way to become an influencer. I just wanted to push music. I'm a musician. So I was like, yo, I want to be a musician that dresses well and posts cool photos. Like, I was looking on Pinterest, like during high school days, of these cool guys just dressing well. I'm like, yo, I want to do that. So I started doing that in high school with phones. And then finally made a friend who had a camera. Just started taking photos on the weekend. And then you got free tattoos here, free haircuts here. And suddenly brands are approaching me. I'm like, yo, this is, it's actually, you can monetize now. And now that this influencer game is out here, it's crazy. It's big. And, you know, I'm just trying to take a grab of that.
But there's so many young kids who, they got a cool look. People are following them. They've got big numbers behind them. But there's not a hell of a lot that are doing what you're doing. What sort of clicked? I mean, you say it's just a realization. I mean, when did that happen?
I don't even know. It's a matter of, I signed my first deal with Converse 3 years ago, and they gave me a bit of like a retainer, and that kept me going and made me realize that there's so many brands that I could work with and, you know, just move forward with them. And during, I think I met someone, a PR agent at an event, and, you know, I went to a lot of Converse events and met a lot of people through there. And I just started getting approached. HP was actually one of the first big companies that approached me. They're like, we're releasing this new printer. Would you be interested? And I was like, how am I going to make a printer look cool on my fashion blog, you know? And then the money showed. And I was like, damn, like, this is big. Like, I can really do this. And I've always just been fascinated with creating cool visuals, like, my whole life. Like, I love watching videos and seeing how things are shot from a creative director perspective. And it's more of a passion. And I'm lucky that my family allows me to pursue this because it's difficult, and I'm still pushing music. Like, music's my main priority, but this influencer market thing is just, it's my waitering, if that makes sense. It's like me, right. It's funding my music right now. Like, it just happened. Like, if it wasn't for this, I would be waitering. So it's just, I think doing things with the right intention and organically, like, you know, you always come out on top, you know, being authentic. And
so look, typically speaking, if there's a brand that's going to advertise something, they'll go to an advertising or marketing agency.
Yeah.
They'll put a brief together. They'll get a whole bunch of different people involved in different elements of the execution of an advert, you know, from like a director to a cinematographer to the then influencer who comes in. I feel like, you know, in a way, in this new space, what you and other people that are doing similar things are doing is they're bypassing a lot of that.
Yeah.
But if you look at the quality of your videos that you're putting up online, they are of a good quality. So how are you doing all of that? I mean, are you using friends? How does that all work?
So, I mean, I am so blessed to have collaborated with so many people that helped me get to where I am. I mean, so many photographers I'd link up with every weekend, like a photographer here, from a guy named Wake to CT Photography to Willy Engelbrecht to so many people just believing in me and loving to work with me and just to create art with, you know, detaching yourself from the outcome. Like, we just wanted to create a cool photo. That's all it is. And I built relationships, man. I got out to a lot of events, from music events to fashion events. I meet people. People recognize me from my social media. And it's just more of a thing like, hey, I don't have money. Like, let's do something for fun. But when the opportunity comes, you know, I would like to use you. And I recently just started my own media company now.
Oh, wow.
So
Tell me about that.
Yeah, with a guy named Tristan Slowgrove and my other friend Dylan Baker. Us three together basically just decided, like, we were all in our 20s. But, I mean, I've had a lot of requests from people saying, you really got an eye for graphics and, you know, for creative direction and storytelling. Would you mind directing my video or a photo shoot? And through that, I realized, like, I could really start something here. And my friend Tristan, who does most of my photos and videos now, spoke to him. I was like, would you be willing to do this journey with me? Let's try it out. And basically now my company shoots my videos and photos. Right. So I hire out my own company to do that for me.
Smart.
Yeah.
What's the company called?
Mirror Mirror, but with an A. So M-I-R-R-A Media on Instagram. Mirror Mirror Media.
And at the same time, have you had any people reaching out to you from the traditional media space saying, do you want to maybe come do work with us? Do you want to work for a bigger company, anything like that?
No, I haven't. I've had a lot of people, like, surprisingly, a lot of people asking me what agency I am with. Like, who's your PR agent? And I'm just by myself. Like, I literally get the DMs from the brands, from LG or from HP or Converse or Less. Like, I think that's a big thing that we need to talk about, is that people are actually looking for people to represent them instead of putting in the work themselves and staying true to themselves and their brand. Like I said, I never did this with the intention of becoming an influencer. Like, I just wanted to be myself and create art. And that has just corresponded with the influencer market that we're in now. So I'm just lucky.
What matters? Does following matter?
No. Following, I'm not big. I got like 4,500 followers. Like, I'm not big. And I got people messaging me with 20,000 followers. Like, how did you get this gig? Or how did you do this? And like I said, it's staying true to yourself, understanding your brand. Like, what do you bring to the table as well? Like, my passion's fashion. Obviously, I'm also covered in tattoos, which makes me look a bit interesting. My music, my fashion. And then, yeah, like, it's your engagement as well. Like, how connected are you to the people that follow you? Like, do you reply? Do you talk to them? Do you know them on a personal level? Because then when the situation comes where you have to ask favors from your fans, like, you can without feeling guilty. Like, yo, I've never met you, but do you mind sharing this to your story, bro? Or all that. And it's about building that relationship with the people around you that do support you now, you know? Rather have 20 loyal followers than 200 and, you, like, they don't even like any of your photos. Yeah, definitely quality over quantity.
It's like any generation gap that'll ever exist in history. The older people won't understand what the younger people are doing. The difference now is that we've got metrics to actually view it happening in real life, and there's such huge business behind all of this that older people do desperately want to know. And there's a lot of really cool things that are going on. A Hooligan, you can go and Instagram your biggest thing that you're pushing.
Yeah, it is right now. I'm starting my YouTube channel, but Instagram is where I'm at and where I do most of my things. But yeah.
And good luck with the company. I think you're exactly in the right space. I think you meet and run into a lot of people that get big on social media, and they're not necessarily going to ever do anything with that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if in any gold rush, you could go look for gold, or you could be the guy that builds the gold pans. I think that's the better way to look at it.
Yeah. I think also I'm all in. Like, this is not something I'm trying on the side. Like, I'm fully invested. Like, I've been doing this for 4 years. Every day. I started with posting 2 outfits on my Instagram a week and borrowing clothes from friends. Like, I don't have clothes. Like, yo, that's such a sick jacket. Can I please use that? And just doing that. And yeah, like I said, it's just, I've gone all in. Those were my study years. My study years was figuring this out.
Right.
Yeah.
Go follow Alex A. Hooligan, A-H-O-O-L-I-G-A-N.
Yeah, underscore official.
Underscore you official. Yeah, of course. on Instagram. Thank you so much to everyone who's come through today, to Lesizwe, to She Said Essay, and of course to Eitan Stern for helping us understand the legalities behind influencer culture in this brave new world that we're walking in together. That's it for Five Talks. We'll put this on catch up. Alex, again, thank you.
Thank you, Nick, for having me.
On 5fm.co.za, you can listen to it there. I'll leave you with this Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, Imagine Dragons.
Five Talks on 5FM with Nick Hammond. Share stories, change attitudes, celebrate people. Talk loud, listen loud, live loud. Five Talks on 5FM.